Well, good morning. What a privilege it is to be together to sing of heaven and to think of its glories and to worship He whose home is there, our Heavenly Father. I'm glad that you're here this morning and you can be with us in honoring the God that created us and sent His Son and made heaven possible. When we think about our status as Christians, if we think about our status as Christians, I think most of us realize that there are some that are weak Christians, there are some that are strong Christians, and there are a lot of folks that are probably in between, somewhere on a compendium between weak and strong. But there are some folks who are weak and have been weak for a long time. And it seems like it might be the case that there are those that are just sort of stuck in a spiritual limbo where there hasn't been very much growth. This morning, as we go through our lesson, and the title of it is How the Weak Can Be Strong, I think one of the first things that we need to do is to consider whether or not whether or not we might ourselves be weak, or at least weaker than we should be. If you've been a Christian for a number of years, compare yourself now to what you were when you became a Christian. You're stronger, you're more connected to the Lord, you're working harder in His vineyard, you developed your talents for His use, you're more committed to His cause. What about where you were 5 years ago? What about where you were last year? Are you getting stronger? Or are you still, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm pretty much the same as I was to begin with. And that might be an indication that you're not growing and that you're not getting stronger. The question then might come to us, well, if there are those who are weak and there are those that maybe have been relatively weak, and I'll talk about what I mean by that in a minute. And they've been that way for a long time. Does that mean that they have to stay that way? Do those that we might categorize, even ourselves perhaps, as weak Christians, must we stay that way? I don't think, as we begin to approach this subject, just to be clear, the problem, let me be very clear here, the problem is not that there are weak Christians. There are always going to be weak Christians. There are those that are newborn babes in Christ. There are those that haven't grown to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and put on the strength that they will eventually have. The problem is not that there are weak Christians. The problem is, number one, that a lot of weak Christians seem to be satisfied in their weakness. And the second problem is, and we're going to address both of these as we go through the lesson this morning, is that those who may be stronger aren't patient enough with those that are weaker. God has an expectation for us. God wants us to be stronger. And if He wants us to be stronger, that means that we cannot just remain satisfied with weakness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, in the discussion of God's discipline of His people, the purpose of it all is to make us stronger, if I understand what the writer there is getting to, when he says in Hebrews 12 and verse 12, that we're to strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight the paths of your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather be healed. And that what he's talking about there is that those that are weak have themselves an obligation to get stronger. I went out for the school wrestling team in the eighth grade. I know that's funny to some people, but I went out for wrestling in the eighth grade. I was actually not bad. I made it to the district semifinals, so it wasn't a terrible experience. But that was in the eighth grade. There was a guy who was in my weight class at school, who, his last name was Magruder, and when we had tryouts, I beat him. I beat him pretty easily. And so I got the slot in our weight class. And what that kid did was he decided Steve Klein wasn't going to take the slot in my weight class, and he wasn't going to beat me next year. And so he started on this training program and got these muscles that were like iron, and started lifting weights and all that sort of stuff. Meanwhile, I spent the rest of that next year on the couch eating potato chips. And so the next year, because although he was very weak as a wrestler, the next year, I mean, he just killed me. Just because he determined to take his weakness and become strong. As Christians, we're told by the Lord here in this passage that we can do that as well. Let's talk about what we mean when we're talking about weakness. Kinds of weakness. What do I mean by weakness? There are various kinds of weakness. You can be physically weak. We need to be able to recognize this in ourselves and others, no matter what kind of weakness we may have in our lives. But physical weakness would include things like physical maladies and infirmities, as well as needs and stresses which we are inadequate to handle on our own, which we need help with. Paul experienced physical weakness, didn't he? He was given a thorn in the flesh. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he talks about how in his weakness, he learns to rely on Christ, and that makes him stronger, to rely on the power of Christ. But what I want you to notice, the things that he lists there, he talks about infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. Well, all of those things might be physical weaknesses if we have trouble handling those things. That's what I mean by physical weaknesses. And then we have weaknesses that are due to a lack of knowledge. We just don't know what it is that we need to know about God's will for us, particularly. Lack of knowledge related to what is allowed and what is not allowed. What a Christian should do and what they shouldn't do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In this context, the apostle is talking about meat that's sacrificed to idols. Well, if you really understand idolatry, you know, an idol's not really anything. What difference does it make if meat is sacrificed to an idol or not? The idol's just a carved image. It's just a rock or a piece of wood or something. And there's nothing really to idols. Now, some people have that depth of understanding, but some people think, well, you know, maybe there's something to this. And so this meat that's been sacrificed to the idol, maybe if I eat that, I'm participating in idolatry in some way. And so maybe I shouldn't do that. And so Paul is the person that really understands that idols aren't anything. He's the person with a depth of knowledge. The person that's having trouble with this is the person who's weak in his knowledge. And that's the scenario that Paul lays before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 7, he says about this knowledge, he says, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol until now eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Notice he says, the conscience is weak. Conscience means to know with, to know about. So they don't know in their head, they don't know what they ought to know about this, or what they could know about it. And so because of that, they feel like maybe doing this thing, eating this meat, is sinful. Now Paul says in verse 8, the reality of it is, food does not commend us to God, neither if we eat are we the better, or if we do not eat are we the worse. It really doesn't matter. From the standpoint, first of all, this idol isn't really anything, and second of all, food is food. He says, if you have that knowledge, you've got some correct and accurate knowledge. But there are some people that don't have that knowledge. And because of the weakness in their knowledge, their conscience is weak. He says, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Weak how? In their knowledge. They're weak in knowledge. And so those who are strong in knowledge, who know, who understand all of this, they are to be very considerate of those that maybe don't quite understand all of it, and be considerate of their consciences, is the point that he's making. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul in chapter 14 is dealing with a similar issue, but in chapter 15, in verses 1 and 2, he says, "We then that are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." So here Paul addresses those who are strong and talks about what their treatment should be toward the weak. And he says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." So when it comes to areas where, you know, some people have a fuller knowledge than others, those that have the fuller knowledge should be very patient and understanding with those that don't. Now, sometimes not having a full knowledge of some particular Bible truth might not lead you into doing something that's wrong. In fact, it might prevent you from doing some things that might be close to being wrong. On the other hand, sometimes a lack of knowledge needs to be corrected because it leads you to do things that are in error. The Old Testament prophet talks about people being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. So, as we think about weakness due to a lack of knowledge, let's think about how that might apply today a little bit. There are those who are weak due to just not knowing God's will about something or not fully understanding it. Maybe they don't understand what constitutes proper or improper speech or dress for a Christian. And so they might allow themselves or others to say things that a Christian ought not to say. Or, in some cases, they might forbid themselves and others from saying things that a Christian can say. But the problem is the weakness in their knowledge. Do you see that? The problem is the weakness in their knowledge. And so it is with dress. The typical problem that we think of is, well, here's a person who really doesn't know or understand God's will when it comes to how a Christian ought to dress, and so they allow for, wearing things that are not becoming for a Christian. And it all gets back to the weakness in their knowledge. But there's also the other end of it. There are people who, because they don't understand the way a Christian's supposed to dress, demand that a Christian, you know, wear more clothes. Cover up in ways that the Bible wouldn't necessarily require. You know, dress like the Amish or whatever. That also is a problem with knowledge, isn't it? Maybe there are those who are weak in knowledge that don't understand what the Lord requires as far as attending assemblies go, or studying His Word, or being part of the worship assembly and participating in that. Maybe they don't understand the work or the purpose of the church. In all of those ways, a person could be weak in knowledge, and in many more that we could talk about. Maybe they don't understand the nature of God's grace fully and how to receive forgiveness. Lots of areas that we might be weak in knowledge. And those areas that we're weak in knowledge then relate to this third area of weakness, and that is what we might call spiritual weakness. And that is simply the lack of strength to obey consistently the will of God and to follow the Lord's way. And people that are weak spiritually are liable to succumb to temptation or bad influences. Jesus understood this weakness in human beings. He tells his disciples in Mark 14:38, for instance, to watch and pray lest you enter temptation. He says, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." And he's talking about a weakness, a susceptibility to be tempted and to succumb to the temptation. Romans 14:21, Paul says, "It's good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." And so you have there a weak brother who is weak in his knowledge, according to Romans 14. But what that might lead to is a spiritual weakness where he could succumb easily to a temptation. He might stumble. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about weakness. And it's especially these last two areas that we need to concern ourselves with. We need to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and see whether or not we're weak due to a lack of knowledge, whether or not we're weak spiritually and subject to temptation, and in fact characterized by it. Because the strongest among us is still subject to weakness. I've been talking about this as if there's some sort of, you know, absolute. People over here are strong and people over here are weak, and there's never a crossover between the two. But the reality is that the strongest among us might have a weakness in an area, and the weakest among us might be strong in a given area. So it's not really an absolute sort of thing, and all of us need to recognize that. That we have within each of us, perhaps, areas of strength and areas of weakness. Interesting passage in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 that sort of illustrates this. The writers, they were talking about the Old Testament high priesthood, and he said that every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Here's the high priest of the Old Testament. He's knowledgeable. He understands what he's supposed to do for the Lord. He is committed to doing that. He's not somebody that you'd normally call spiritually weak, but he is still subject to weakness. And the writer indicates that that's the case. And it's certainly the case with us today. It doesn't matter how strong you are in the priesthood. Unless you're Christ himself, you are certainly subject to weakness. But it's one thing to be subject to weakness, and it's another thing to be characterized by it. And as we look at ourselves this morning, I'd ask everybody in this room, let's just say this. All of us are subject to weakness. Not anybody here that's not subject to weakness or a weakness. The question is, are our lives characterized by weakness? And if that's the case, we need to do some working out. We need to do some bulking up. We need to recognize our need to get stronger. The Christian who never examines himself in this connection to Christ is going to remain weak. And that's not acceptable to the Lord. The Lord wants us to get strong. First verse we started with this morning from Hebrews 12. Strengthen. Strengthen the hands that hang down. Look at, Darren did a great job this morning on the table talking about some of the ramifications of the Lord's Supper, the significance of it in our connection to Christ, not just historically, but in the here and now. And I do think that that's in 1 Corinthians 11. Let me pick up, leaving off really with some things he was saying, and pick up in verse 27. Notice this with me. He says, Paul does, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What is a man to examine about himself? Ever ask yourself that in this context? As Darren pointed out, this is called the communion of the Lord or the fellowship of the Lord. That's what this is, with his body and with his blood. And one of the things, maybe the main thing, that we need to be examining is our connection to Jesus Christ, to his body and his blood, our communion, our fellowship with him. And is that connection strong? Is it what it ought to be? As you go on and read this text, you'll notice a man's supposed to examine himself. And then verse 29, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And some translations there leave off Lord's and just say the body. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak. What's the reason? They haven't examined themselves. If I understand anything at all about the flow of this context and what Paul is talking about, they haven't examined themselves in their connection to Jesus Christ that's symbolized in this supper. We need to examine ourselves. How can the weak be strong? I'm going to suggest three ways in which we can gain strength. This would apply to all of us, but especially as we examine ourselves, if we find ourselves to be weak in an area or areas. The first of the ways to gain strength is to devote ourselves more fully to learning and applying the Word of God. And this is going to tell you how old I am. But I've told you all before, we didn't have TV when I was very little, and finally when we got into school, my dad broke down and bought us this black and white television. And I was so excited because I got to watch cartoons, even though at the time we were in Okinawa and they were in Japanese. But still, I got to watch the cartoons. And one of the cartoons that I remember just loving as a little child was Mighty Mouse. Y'all remember Mighty Mouse? Mighty Mouse, this weak little mouse, and he would come into all sorts of troubles and difficult situations, and then what would happen? He would eat some cheese, and he would all of a sudden be strong. And he'd be like, for those kids who don't know what I'm talking about Mighty Mouse, he turns into Superman, except he's a mouse. And he has a cape, and he flies, and he, you know, rescues and saves the day and all that sort of thing. And that's Mighty Mouse. What was the key to Mighty Mouse being Mighty Mouse? He had to eat the cheese, right? Then there's Popeye the Sailor Man. This also dates me. You know, it was the same sort of situation. He was just, a weak and lowly sailor, bad things would happen in his life, and Pluto would come and do something bad, and Popeye would have to stand up against him. And what did Popeye do? He had to eat the spinach, right? So apparently either eating spinach and cheese, either one of those will make you a superhero. So cheese and spinach, that's the key. But the point I'm making here is that even cartoonists understand that it's what goes into our bodies that gives us energy and strength and makes us what we are. Somebody said long ago, you are what you eat. There's nothing truer than that. You are what you eat. Your body takes that which you take within and it becomes you. You want to be strong. You have to take the word in you. It is your cheese. It is your spinach. It is the thing that will make you change, transform you from weak to strong. The Bible says this in so many places, in so many different ways, of course. Psalm 119 and verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. I'm weak, he says. Then strengthen me according to your word. My strength is going to come from God's word. In Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul encourages the elders who had met him, who'd come down from Ephesus. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you that spiritual strength. There is some passing of time that is necessary to gain strength from the word. But the passing of time alone does not guarantee that you'll get strength, that you'll become stronger. You have to dedicate yourself not only to learning the word, but to applying it. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer is telling us in Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 12? There were those there who by reason of time should be teachers, but they hadn't learned enough to be teachers. They needed someone to go back and teach them the first principles of the oracles of God. And he says in verse 14, that solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Again, getting back to my metaphor with the cheese and the spinach. You can eat it. Or you can stay on the milk, or you can stay on the water, and you're not going to get strong that way. You have to eat it. You have to take it in, But then notice what else he says. You have to use it. You have, by reason of use, your senses exercise to discern good and evil. And so there are people that know a lot about the Bible, and so they're not weak in knowledge, but what they're weak in maybe is application. They haven't taken that and lived it in their lives. They haven't said, okay, I'm going to take this sermon that I've heard today, this Bible class lesson, and these points that I've learned today, and I'm going to apply that in my life today and tomorrow. And I'm going to try to do it for the rest of my life. And I'm going to work out God's Word in my life every day. See, the thing is, the bodybuilder, he can drink those protein drinks and take all the supplements and all that sort of thing. But if he never goes and works out, he's just going to get fat. You have to work. You have to apply it. Secondly, you need to have faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith in His power and strength. It will empower you and transform you from the weak mouse to the mighty mouse and from the weak sailor to the strong sailor. If you look at Hebrews 11 and verse 32, in this description of people who had great faith and the way it changed their lives, that's really what Hebrews 11 is all about. It's not just about faith. It's about faith in action, and it's about how faith in action changed people's lives and changed the world. In Hebrews 11 and verse 32, what more shall I say, for the time would fail to tell me of Gideon. I'm going to think with you about Gideon for just a minute, in a minute. And Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How did they become strong? Out of weakness? Through faith. Faith transforms you. Another cheesy kids show reference. What do the Power Rangers have to do to get strong? They have to morph, right? Morphin' time. You've got to be changed. And the power to change is in faith. It's in trusting God's ways. When we go back in the Old Testament and we look at Gideon, here's a person who is weak in a number of ways. He's weak in his faith. He's not strong. And it's interesting how God brings him along to be strong and to strengthen him. The angel of the Lord comes to him in Judges 6. And Gideon is threshing wheat down in a wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. I might point out to you that the word "it" there is by interpolation. It's added by the translators, and the more strictly correct translation would say that he was hiding from the Midianites. He wasn't hiding the wheat, he was hiding himself from the Midianites. He was a chicken. He was a little mouse. And so the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." That is, to me, humorous. Here's a guy that's hiding in a wine press from the Midianites. And the Lord, and the angel comes to him and say, "You mighty man of valor, you know, look at you here." And I take it that I don't think he was being sarcastic. I don't think the angel was being sarcastic. But I think he saw the potential in Gideon and what Gideon would become through faith once his faith was brought along. So Gideon says to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about?" Notice what he's lacking. What's he lacking? He's lacking faith, isn't he? Where's this God? Where are all of his miracles? No, the Lord has forsaken us. He doesn't have any faith. The Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him though and said, "Go in this might of yours." Notice again, the Lord insists that Gideon is going to be strong. Just like he insists you and I today. God is insisting that on for us today. You be strong. He's not calling you to be weak. He's calling you to be strong. calling Gideon to be strong. He says, go in this might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And Gideon says, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. And God says, surely I will be with you. And we don't have time to go into all the story of Gideon, but most of you know it, that through a number of signs that God gives to Gideon, he becomes stronger in faith. And as he becomes stronger in faith, he becomes stronger, period. And one of the greatest leaders and strongest men in the book of Judges became that way, was transformed from weakness to strength because he learned to trust God. Wasn't about his abilities. Wasn't about what family he came from. How weak his history was. It was about trusting God and the power of God. Faith transforms us from weakness to strength. So many passages talk about this. We had a sermon not long ago from Ephesians 3. That we are strengthened in the inner man through faith in Christ Jesus. Lastly, as we think about how the weak can be strong, seek help from the Lord and from brethren. Strength comes from God. It's not in you. It's in Him. The psalmist says in Psalm 138 and verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me, he says, made me bold with strength in my soul. God can strengthen. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God's not weak. God doesn't get tired. His understanding, it says, is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. God does that. And if you are empowered by God, you are empowered with all of the power you'll ever need to do anything. To those who have no might, he increases strength. That's the promise. God and his power, when it's relied upon, when it's trusted in, can enable you to become what he wants you to be, can cause you to be stronger in knowledge, in dealing with physical infirmities, and in your spiritual strength as well. And then, seek strength not only from the Lord, and trust in Him, but seek encouragement and strength from brothers and sisters. Those in Christ, those in our family, here at Eastside. There's a lot of strength in this congregation in various ways. And there are people here who can help you in your areas of weakness. Who can pull you along and make you stronger. Make those connections. Seek for help in the areas where you're weak. The Apostle Peter was very strong in a lot of ways, but he showed extraordinary weakness at other times, didn't he? Jesus, in telling Peter that Peter was going to deny the Lord, he says to him in Luke 22 and verse 32, I have prayed for you that your faith should fail not, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know, there are brothers and sisters here in Christ who've been through some difficult times, who've had challenges to their faith, who've had spiritual lows in their lives and come through those and now are stronger. Well, if you're going through some of those spiritual lows right now in your life, you've got brethren here who can strengthen you, like Peter could strengthen a lot of people. Don't you know that when Peter was talking with a brother or sister in Christ, and that brother or sister in Christ had experienced a spiritual failure and not been true to the Lord, can you imagine how great it would be to talk to Peter, and Peter would say, you know what? I know exactly how you're feeling. But you know what? I know how to overcome it too. Peter could strengthen his brethren. It's important for those who are relatively stronger to understand their duty to uphold or support the weak and to be patient with all in doing that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14 says, the strong must put themselves in the shoes of the weak and help them in meekness and humility, realizing that the strong can also be tempted. The strong are also subject to weakness. Paul says about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, to the weak, I became as weak. And I don't think he means to say there, yeah, if somebody's weak over here, then I'm going to go, you know, experience the weakness with them and do the things that we shouldn't be doing together. That's not what he's saying. But I think he's saying he humbled himself. He condescended to their position. He says, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might be all, by all means save some. So as we wind down the lesson, I hope somehow all of us have been thinking along and examining ourselves. This lesson's not going to do any good if we individually don't ask the question, is it me? Is it I? Am I the one who is weak? What are the areas in my life where I need to improve? How can I improve in those areas? Do I need to know more? Do I need to study more? Do I need more faith in the Lord's way and in His power? Do I need help from brethren? The weak are never going to get stronger until they make up their minds that they are weak and they need to get stronger. Let me say this. The Lord expects the strong to help the weak. And the strong are going to be judged as to how well they do that. Way back in Ezekiel 34 and verse 4, God judged the leaders of Israel, those who were supposed to be strong. And he says, the weak you have not strengthened. That's what he condemns them for. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those that were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and with cruelty, you have ruled them. And so those who are strong need to take notice. You have an obligation to strengthen the weak, to be patient in doing that, to do so lovingly and tenderly, not with cruelty or force. But none of that can be accomplished if the weak aren't willing themselves to get stronger, to see their need for greater strength. The weak can be strong. We don't have to wallow in spiritual weakness our entire lives. There's no need for it. Here again is what the text said. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight the paths of your feet. That weak person, that's on you. That's who he's talking to. That's on you. That's what God expects of you. As we're thinking about ourselves this morning, there may be one here who is subject to the invitation of the Lord, who realizes there's an area that you've just allow yourself not to be what you ought to be. And you need to straighten that out and get stronger. And if you want to confess that, pray for strength. Have us pray with you and for you. We'll be happy to do that. Might be talking to somebody this morning who's not a Christian, never named the name of Jesus, never said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to turn away from a life of sin and serve Him the rest of my life. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins that you might enter this new life. We'd ask you to come while we stand.